You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Despite the success of crime shows on TV with their sophisticated forensic labs and micro-get-to-the-bottom-of-it scientist crime solvers, the practice of criminal forensics in the United States is on the defensive. A number of crime labs have had evidence thrown out. Patterns of evidence tampering and degradation have thrown cases out of court. One case at a lab in the state of Massachusetts has the potential of altering or obliterating thousands of court convictions. State House reporter for our partner WGBH Public Radio in Boston is Sarah Birnbaum. She's been covering the Massachusetts angle of this story. Sarah, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, John.
Also with us is Marvin Schechter, defense attorney in New York, who served as an advisor to the National Academy of Sciences Forensics 2009 report, Strengthening Forensic Science in the United States, A Path Forward. Marvin has the notions of what we need to be concerned about nationally here. Marvin, thanks for coming in.
Great to be here.
Sarah, let's begin with what's going on up there in Massachusetts and how on the defensive forensics laboratory technicians and the labs themselves are.
So let me describe what's going on. There is this chemist named Annie Dukin, and she allegedly tainted evidence in the 9 years she worked in the state lab in Massachusetts. So she admitted to things like sprinkling heroin or cocaine in whatever she was testing so the test would turn out positive, and also grabbing a pile of 25 drug samples and testing five of them and then listing them all as positive.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Now, is this a situation of corruption on her part, or was she incentivized in some way under pressure from prosecutors to deliver these kinds of results?
Well, I think it goes beyond just a rogue chemist, which is what the governor's administration is trying to blame it on, to a rogue lab. There was a lot of pressure to keep up with the budget. There was a backlog of cases, of 8,000 cases, which is a year's worth of work. There was no verification of her results, no communications, no investigations into the tests she was finding. She was also testing about 9,000 drug samples where everyone else was testing about 3,000. So the prevailing theory is that she wanted to be this super worker. Mm. But that the motivations are still a bit unclear. Here's Attorney General Martha Coakley talking about it.
We certainly do not have, as we've seen in other cases, someone who had a drug habit, for instance, or someone who was looking for monetary gain. We don't have that evidence in this case.
But do we have a number of cases that are affected here? I mean, I imagine a super worker could disrupt thousands of cases.
That's exactly what happened. So the scope is enormous. She handled about 60,000 drug samples, and it could jeopardize 34,000 criminal cases. But it goes beyond that. She also had unsupervised access to the drug locker where everyone else kept their evidence. And the concern is that the state has to pay to retry thousands upon thousands of defendants who are trying to get their convictions thrown out. And here's defense attorney Liza Lund, and she says this doesn't just affect people serving on drug charges.
This affects not only individuals convicted of a particular drug offense, but also individuals who are currently serving time on a sentence which has been enhanced because of a prior conviction which was based on a drug analysis done by Annie Dukin. So it's quite a broad spectrum of people.
All right, so Liza Lund is a defense attorney. What are state officials saying about this, and how formally are they taking this in terms of investigating?
They're taking it very seriously. Governor Deval Patrick has hired a former prosecutor to sort through this mess of cases. What happened was that of all the samples that Annie Dukin tested, it wasn't clear if they corresponded to any specific criminal cases or not. And so prosecutors, defense attorneys, the Department of Juvenile Justice, all these various organizations, I think there are 25, have to sort through all their old files with the state to try to match up the evidence tested to the case. So that's going on, and it's taking many, many months. So far, they definitively have identified 10,000 people that have been affected, and that number is going to grow.
It's Sarah Birnbaum, State House reporter for WGBH Radio in Boston. She's been covering this Annie Dukin drug lab scandal. But Marvin Schechter, defense attorney whose advice aided the National Academy of Sciences' 2009 report, Strengthening Forensic Science in the U.S., A Path Forward. I mean, in many ways, these labs are black boxes. If what goes in and what comes out is not credible, it throws into question virtually everything going on in the prosecutor's office.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you don't have the certainty that the evidence that's being presented to a jury is legitimate evidence. Unfortunately, the courts, particularly the judiciary and prosecutors, are very accepting of the evidence from a crime lab. Defense attorneys have become a lot more skeptical since 2009 when the NAS report was published. And so what we're trying to figure out is why we have these scandals and why all of them seem to have the same common components. The Dukin mess up in Massachusetts is always a shock and surprise to public officials. In most cases where these lab scandals erupt, public officials are always shocked and surprised. And yet we find in almost all of these cases that the length of time that this was going on, in Dukin's case, 10 years, in San Francisco, 7 years.
And there's cases in Long Island.
The Nassau County was a five-year span between the time the lab was initially put on probation in 2005 to 2010. And in 2010 in Nassau County, we found that the lab failed 26 of 29 benchmarks for accreditation. And so Massachusetts is not unusual. We shouldn't be shocked. The other big thing that you find in many of these cases is the total lack of supervision. The answer of public officials always is it's a rogue person. And yet the accreditation agencies that take a look at these things always tell us that they've taken a look at the management systems. And yet time and time again we find that the supervision was totally lacking. Massachusetts, at least, you have to give them some credit. When this broke, they immediately looked to see who the higher-ups were, and a number of people were fired. That's unusual. In most states, it's the sole person who's caught who's thrown under the bus.
So a pattern of lapses at criminal labs around the country suggesting some systemic problems in forensics in the criminal justice system in the United States. Marvin Schechter, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Marvin Schechter is defense attorney in New York who served as an advisor to the National Academy of Sciences Forensics 2009 report, Strengthening Forensic Science in the U.S., A Path Forward. And Sarah Birnbaum is covering that Annie Dukin case up in Massachusetts. She's a State House reporter for WGBH Radio in Boston. Sarah and Marvin, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.